Apparently, Frogan just didn't respond to the complaint. This can't be real, right? Usually you put in a, what is it called, Kafka? Like denials, like you plead. It's not guilty in a civil case. You put a pleading in for your response, I guess. I don't know. Well, you wouldn't respond with no contest because then you would be guilty of everything, right? Or I guess maybe you could just go to arguing damages, maybe? I don't know. I don't know how that would work. Oh, look at how nice this is, guys. June 19th, 2025. Court case is 1 year old. How many docket entries? 16. Oh, wow. Feels amazing, man. Meanwhile, what are we up to? Do you think we'll hit 300 by the end? No way, right? 264. Oh, by the way, they've posted the fucking name of the child sex trafficking victim in the last filings they did because they didn't redact her name. But you better believe they redacted Pixie's fucking name from every fucking filing they had to make sure they got that real correct while they posted my address as well, which I know she loved doing. I know it's intentional. Isn't one of these a maximize button? Am I crazy? It appearing from the records in the above entitled action that summons has been served upon the defendant's name below, because you have to be able to serve them with paperwork to put them on notice that there's a lawsuit that's required. And it further appearing from the affidavit of counsel for plaintiff and other evidence as required by the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 55A, that each of the below defendants have failed to plead or otherwise defend in said action as directed in said summons and as provided in the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. So my guess is this has to do with how you're supposed to respond to a complaint, or this is to the rules for entering a default judgment. Entering a default. When a party against whom a judgment for affirmative relief is sought has failed to plead or otherwise defend, and that failure is shown by affidavit or otherwise, the clerk must enter the party's default. Plead means she didn't, that's like the first stage. So they really didn't even reply to the initial complaint? Can anything negative happen from Doe to Doe from this, as long as you have money? I mean, hopefully there's a countersuit available, and hopefully I can block her from ever taking the bar. That each of the below defendants have failed to plead or otherwise defend in said action as directed, blah, 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 blah. Now, therefore, on request of counsel, the default of each of the following named defendants is hereby entered. What did she do with all the money she raised? This just means that, how do you decide how much the default judgment is? Since it's given by a statutory amount here, would it just be in the matter of $100,000? I don't remember what that, is it $150,000? Is it automatically the max judgment, or did they file anything? Hold on. Okay, so the complaint is filed by plaintiff. That's Ethan Klein. There was a similar naming mistake slash error in the latest filing by Brettler. They had the name at the bottom of the email, but it was for a person we're calling Abby MC, but we can't use the full name, which is like four more letters. Fucking stupid. Stupid. But whatever. That's their cover name, okay? Civil cover sheet filed by plaintiff. Request for clerk to issue summons on complaint filed by plaintiff. Interesting. I don't know what is a summons here? Is this a way of asking the court to serve the defense, maybe? What is a summons here, technically? Summons resource and Westlaw provides... Blah, 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 okay. A particular note providing detailed guidance on the service of a defendant summons under the criminal procedure rules. I'm guessing they issued the certificate of interested parties filed by plaintiff. Report on the filing of an action regarding a copyright filed by Ted Entertainment. Notice of lodging filed by plaintiff Ted Entertainment. Notice of assignment to a district judge. These are the people who are going to be judging the case. Register of copyrights. What was this? Report on filing of copyright action. Oh, stuff for the record, I guess, to show what they're suing over or something, maybe. Notice to counsel, read consent to proceed before a U.S. magistrate judge. 21-day summons issued. Read complaint. So this is the summons issued. Wait, are you allowed to ask the court to issue a summons? Or can you do it yourself? Or does it depend? Or you request a court to issue a summons. Okay, so you don't usually issue it on your own. Standing order by Judge John F. Walter. Read this order carefully. It controls the case and differs in some respects from the local rules. Oh, because this was filed in federal court, I guess. Okay, this is all like on the second day right after the filing. Okay, a month later. Proof of service executed by plaintiff Ted Entertainment upon defendant Morgan, whatever. Oh, this is Frogan. Served on 7/14, so July 14th. Service was executed upon Jane Doe, member of household, in compliance with the Federal Civil Procedure by substituted service at home address. Do you think she was hiding from the service? Is that why it took so long? Or do you think it just takes a long time for the court to get these out? Stipulation for extension of time to file an answer to October 3rd, 2025 complaint. This was filed by... Did you see that Chud Logic Shit got reported and it got a Discord / Twitch ban? I haven't over this latest shit. I thought about going the full like scorched earth report route. People have been spam reporting my Discord, by the way. I didn't bother. If I would have that, it would have been against Queeman, because I'm pretty sure he was like hurling multiple racial slurs at me in that convo. I just didn't even notice it. I tune out like the twink voice. It just disappears in my mind. Okay, on August 1st, Counsel for Vrogan contacted Counsel for TEI by email to contest the validity of service. Oh, so they were trying to say, well, your service didn't count. You didn't actually serve us. So they're playing games. Okay. Whereas in the same email, Counsel for Vrogan offered to resolve the issue and avoid unnecessary motion practice by 1, having TEI withdraw the July 18th, 2025 proof of service, or 2, having Vrogan execute a waiver of service and receive an additional 60 days to respond to the complaint. Whereas on the same day, Counsel for TEI responded to Counsel for Vrogan without consent. By the way, this is more ordinary practice where it's the defendants that are usually trying to push everything down the road more and more and more and more and more. But this has been the opposite in my case where I wanted to get things over with as quickly as possible. And it's the plaintiff that is kicking the can down the road on everything. But in the same email, Counsel for TEI offered to streamline the resolution of the issue by granting Vrogan an additional 60 days to respond to the complaint. Ooh, that's a good counter. So they might say, well, wait, you know, let's do 60-day extension to, you know, provide service. But Ethan's lawyers are like, well, hold on. You motherfuckers are already saying that you're going to fight over this service. How about we just say you've been served, but we'll give you an additional 60 days. We can file a joint thing. We agree to give you an additional 60 days to respond. Whereas Counsel for Vrogan agreed to this arrangement so long as Vrogan preserved her right to file any responsive pleading pursuant to Federal Super Procedure Rule 12 with the exception of contesting service under FRCP Rules 12B-4-5 and Counsel for TEI agreed. Okay, so they did agree on this. Whereas good cause exists for the stipulation because 1, it resolves the party's issue, therefore it is thereby stipulated by and between the parties. Oh, okay, so they did agree to this. Give her additional 60 days to respond. Stipulation for extension of time. Okay. And then the judge probably just signed the proposed order. You basically write up the order for the judge. Like, listen, and as long as like both parties are agreeing, right? Listen, we've both agreed on this shit. This is not like a response reply scenario. Like, here, judge, can you just like sign this order that we both agreed to? So the judge probably just signed this order. And it seems like the judge did. That was in August 5th, 2025. What is this? 8 months later, May 19th. And they just didn't reply. They didn't respond. There was no, you have the complaint is filed. You're pleading. So Ethan is saying, I'm suing you. And then the defense here needs to either enter their response, which might be a denial of the majority or all of the claims. It could be a motion to dismiss, but it sounds like they just filed nothing. So then it'll just be the default judgment, which I don't know how they determine if that's just going to be the full amount that Ethan was initially seeking in the complaint here. TEI be awarded defendants in each of their profits plus TEI's losses attributable to the defendants. Infringement of the nuke, the exact sum to be proven at the time of trial, or, if elected, statutory damages in the amount of $150K, awarded reasonable attorney's fees, awarded prejudgment interest as allowed by law, and awarded any further relief as the court deems proper. So it'll probably be, I don't know if they'll get attorney's fees, but it sounds like they'll just get the full $150K. What did, how much did she fundraise for this? At Destiny, there's a rumor going around that this may be part of Denim's strategy. The theory is that she is effectively paying Vrogan not to file anything yet so that they can wait and see how the judge rules, allowing her legal team to prepare for whatever decision is made. There are also rumors that Vrogan has left the country, so collecting any money from her could be extremely low. Well, what do you mean? The judge is going to give them the default, no? What do you mean, no? She fundraised $38,000. ? That's retarded? Well, that might not be retarded because I'm reading through their prayer for relief down here, and it sounds like they're implicating the H3 Snark people in some of this lawsuit. And if that is the case, it's possible that Vrogan participating in this lawsuit could get more information to Ethan that could help him in the lawsuit against Denim's. So if that were the case, it might make sense for Denim's to pay Vrogan or for Vrogan to just fuck off completely so that they're not fighting the same legal battle on two fronts. And then Denim's, through her lawsuit, can fight everything. And Vrogan could just take a default judgment, leave the country, and say whatever. Maybe. I don't know if she's left the country, but I also don't know if you could garnish wages from somebody who gets like 1099 income. It's not like she's a W-2 earner or something, but you can. Is she broke? Well, something is strategic happening here, right? Because why would you not even respond at all to the lawsuit? Like, you could just say, like, you could just enter a default pleading of, like, you know, I didn't. What is your default pleading called in a civil case? It's not guilty, but you would refuse, or you would deny each of the claims stated in the complaint, and then you would just go through the process, I guess. Destiny. Also, this judgment can follow her to other countries if Ethan goes to the expense. Yeah, but don't you have to go to every single local court and like file the judgment there? I don't know how annoying that would be. But Destiny, I don't get civil court. Can I just sue anyone and they have to pay a lawyer and get discovery and get their messages and all their info? Yep. Read page 4. It's actually funny to see how much she tried to avoid service. Destiny, new attack on Democrat. Without Googling, what happened? Attacks on Spanberger for vetoing a bill, but probably not a law they could win on in court and instead taking executive action? Is this about data centers? I don't fucking know. I don't care. Okay. We're on Ethan Klein drama right now. Okay. At the time of service, I was at least 18 and not a part of at home. Papers were served on this date. They were mailed. Okay. This is a 5-story business style apartment building that is secured by a locked door and intercom. Our subject name is not listed on the intercom list. No one was seen on the inside. I could not gain access. I decided to wait outside the front of the building until I was able to gain access by someone letting me in while they're leaving or arriving. Holy shit, he's taken. Oh my God. At 3:15 a.m.? Is that right? 3:15 a.m.? This guy is taken. What the fuck? At 3:15 a.m., I was able to gain access by following something after a resident or guest was leaving the building. I located where unit number 403 is. I can stand down the hallway and be able to stay out of view and be able to watch the unit without being too stay out of view. Oh, I bet he's using a voice to text translator right now. I can stand down the hallway and be able to stay out of view and be able to watch the unit without being too inconspicuous. At 4:30 a.m., at this time, nobody left or entered the unit. I stepped away and left the location without being noticed. No activity, left at 4:30 a.m. Jesus Christ. He waited in there for an hour. And then here at 2:30 a.m., oh, holy shit, wait, how many times do they have to try to do service here? Upon arrival, I was not able to get access. The door to the property was locked. Approached the elevator, took the fourth floor. Maintained my position down the hall from 3:15 a.m. until 6:30 a.m. During this time, there were no changes. No one was seen entering or exiting the building. The door remained closed. I quietly walked up to the door and listened closely for any movement. I did hear movement on the inside. I did not knock on the door. Instead, I just took note of my findings. 2 a.m. Upon arrival, I was not able to gain access. The doors to the property were locked. I maintained my position outside of the main entrance, sitting on a large planter. At 3:07 a.m., I was able to gain access. A resident was exiting the building. I proceeded to the elevator where blah, 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 blah. Okay. And then at 7:14, a week later, upon arrival, I could not gain access. The entrance to the building was locked. I positioned myself in front of the building, waiting for someone to enter or exit the property so I could gain access. At 2:12 p.m., I was able to gain access. I entered in after a resident was leaving with his dog. I proceeded to the fourth floor. I approached unit 403, and I could hear a female voice talking. I could not tell what was being said, but it sounded like someone was giving their point of view. I stepped away and positioned myself in the hallway, far enough away as to not be seen by anyone within the unit looking out of the peephole. Throughout my time waiting, I could hear constant talking with brief moments of silence. At 6:12 p.m., I heard the doorknob of unit 403 make noise, and the door quickly opened. Stepping out was a darker female, possibly African-American or Middle Eastern, in her 40s, 5'6", 155 pounds, dark long curly hair with dark eyes. I asked her if she is Morgan Majed. Is that Frogan's name? And she said, why? I said, I have legal documents for you. And she said, she is not Morgan. I asked her if Morgan lived there. And she said, no, that she has lived there for 6 years and there's no Morgan. I asked her if she would show her ID, showing that she is not Morgan. And she refused. I told her that since she won't show her ID, that I will be serving her. She refused to take the documents, so I placed them in front of her door. The female saw me place them there. She said, I'm not Morgan. You can speak to her management.
Sheesh.
Well, fuck, I didn't watch this yet. Oh, he made a short form of it. Is this intentional? I feel like he's framed Ethan here with the sun in the background. It kind of looks angelic.
Billy American millionaire podcaster is suing.
What the fuck?
An Israeli American millionaire podcaster.
I wanted to take Sam's side on this. Samson's side on this because I did feel like we were getting into territory where it's like, are we suing people for political opinions we disagree with? Like, your perspective on whether or not Ethan Klein is pro-genocide or not, I feel like that is a legitimate political opinion that can be debated. I don't know if I would want that litigated in court. But then I feel like if you kept watching, there were just so many claims that Noah Sampson was making where it's like, bro, you are just fucking yourself so hard. Like, they became stronger statements of fact and not just political opinions. So I think I wanted to defend him so I could have the contrary take. But, yeah, I don't know.
Is suing me for defamation. Hi, I'm Noah Sampson. I'm a YouTuber. I make videos about how Israel sucks. Last year, I uploaded this video, The YouTubers Who Backed the Genocide. And in response, Ethan Klein, host of the H3 podcast, filed a defamation lawsuit. Here it is. Here's the lawsuit. It's 31 pages. He's alleging that I defamed him by falsely painting him as a supporter of the genocide of Palestinians. I believe that Klein's claims are meritless, and I intend to defend against them. But to do this, I need your help. Defamation lawsuits can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I don't have that kind of money. So I started a GoFundMe, Klein v. Sampson. I set the goal for $200,000, which will be used for lawyers' fees and legal expenses. However, any funds raised above this goal
will be donated
directly to Palestinian aid, and any funds that go unused or are recuperated once legal proceedings conclude will also be donated. I'll be doing a fundraising marathon stream on Friday, May 22nd, starting at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Guests include FD Signifier.
Not legit. Ethan was never pro-genocide. I mean, I'm just saying you can have that as a political perspective. Like, if you say, like, you support Israel, so you're pro-genocide, like, I would say that's not a justiciable claim. That's, like, that's a political opinion that doesn't belong in court. Obviously, I wouldn't consider myself pro-genocide. But, like, if somebody said I was pro-genocide, I don't know if that's, like, an actual claim. I just don't feel that. I would be really uncomfortable saying that. But I'm pretty sure the examples that Ethan gave, Noah Sampson went way further than that and was, like, making absolute statements of fact about things that Ethan just didn't say. So I don't know. Fuck him.
Boy Boy, Denims, iDubbbz, Big Joel, Frogan, Chris Kunzler, Overzealots, and more, and a bunch more. Donation goals include chug a gallon of milk, pie in the face, hot chip challenge, shoe on head cosplay, why not, run a marathon, and more. And if we make it to $500,000, I will ride a bicycle.
This case is baseless. If it goes through, it's a scary precedent for online creators. But yeah, fuck. Well, like, I thought there were statements of fact in here. I would have to go back and reread Ethan's complaint that were pretty bad about things that Noah kept saying over and over again. Yeah, I don't know. Why does he pretend that he doesn't make enough money to defend himself? I mean, it's not like he posts a ton of YouTube videos, right? So he might not make that much money for this to be able to just throw a couple $100K at, like, a court case. I don't know. Okay. What is this? So, I mean, that was linked a while ago.
The different ones.
I think it means you can talk to Twitch streamers again. That would never work that way. That's like thinking that, like, oh, I found a sick loophole. No, they would just say you're not allowed to talk to people who have been banned and deleted accounts or something. That would be it.
Okay, a bit of a different one today. And don't worry, it's just going to be a one-off. But I am going to have a go at trying to be sincere and making a good point. So wish me luck. Taylor Lorenz is a very controversial figure to many, and I believe for a good reason. It seems strangely memory-holed in some parts of the internet nowadays that she actively supported Keffels and the Drop Kiwi Farms campaign. That's how I found out about her anyway, this weird person always wearing her mask, seemingly trying to make the internet worse for people for social justice brownie points. For a couple years now, it seems, she's been posting regularly on YouTube, and I recently have had the
Do you genuinely care at all about being unbanned from Twitch? I mean, yeah, it's a big platform that's, like, super insulated, so it's hard to reach viewers on there if you're outside of the platform. Plus, I don't like the fact that it's just, like, it's serving right now as a massive radicalization pipeline for people to be either shuffled very far to the right into the Trump camp with Asmongold, or to be shuffled very far into the left into the weird authoritarian Marxist-Leninist camp with Hassan. And I feel like not having, like, a good counterbalance to that kind of drives me crazy. But
Twitch is unironically pretty much a whole different audience, like, genuinely.
Yeah.
It's pleasure of finding out how difficult it is to watch her content. There is one thing that she's been talking about a lot there recently, and it's very funny that it's been coming from her. This is upholding Section 230, and she has a unique slant of talking about it for lefties. At least, I guess. I think that's who's watching this. And this may be a hard pill to swallow. I'm not saying anything about the content.
I'm not understanding. JST clap back at you. Okay, thank you. Good clarity.
Of her character, but that doesn't change the fact that I think her messaging around Section 230 is correct. Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act is an American law that protects social media websites from legal liability for hosting.
You do not have to amplify a person's messaging because it's correct if every other thing they say is fucking retarded or wrong. Not only do you not have to amplify their messaging, you don't have to, it damages the thing that you're trying to message about. Like, imagine if I thought that government direction to private companies can be really important when our nation is in crisis. And I say over and over and over again, this is a thing that Hitler got right. We have to be able to control our corporations for the betterment of the country. Hitler was right on this, guys. Hitler was absolutely right when he was talking about, like, it's so fucking retarded. It's such an obviously fucking retarded point. Taylor Lorenz is a deeply unserious, brain broken, foreign paid by her own admission and by stuff that we don't know, right? Slop journalist that engages in fucking hit piece and the most crank fucking arguments ever. And she doesn't know fuck all about technology or the law. If you think that Section 230 protections are important, which they are, arguably the entire internet is built on the concept of Section 230 protections. They're very important. Then you absolutely should not be saying things like, well, we should listen to Taylor Lorenz here. Under no circumstances should you ever listen to Taylor Lorenz. He's a fucking retard. Especially if you care about this topic. Jesus.
Around Section 230 is correct. Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act is an American law that protects social media websites from legal liability for hosting user-generated content. Simply, when a user of a social media website posts on there, it is the user, not the website, that is legally responsible for that content.
This is a vital law for maintaining a free and open internet. Currently, a bill called the Sunset Section 230 Act is being pushed. If it passes, Section 230 will be revoked after 2 years. It's uncertain what this would look like, but it's a near enough certainty that this would lead to a more moderated and regulated internet. Think no anonymity online and all content needing to be manually reviewed. It sounds crazy and impossible to me, but there are genuinely very powerful people trying to push for this stuff. And I should add on that the corn ban in the UK sounded crazy and impossible to us, and then that went through, and it affected a lot more than just that. So this should not be a partisan issue. When it comes to people in government, both sides want this. So there should be no team sports being played when it comes to people opposing it. And I have to say, Taylor Lorenz has found a niche in talking about this topic to lefties.
I'm pretty sure Taylor Lorenz opposes, like, all forms of anything having to do with tech censorship. Is there anything she supports relating to tech moderation or censorship? Does anybody know? She must support some of it, and I just haven't seen it. But, like, she came out against, like, banning cell phone usage for kids in school. Like, she didn't like the fact that they were withholding cell phones for kids in school. She got ass pain earlier saying that, fuck, I didn't even participate.
Wait, she
in
thinks
this.
Kids should have cell phones in
yes.
school?
Yes.
She's a retard.
She was like, super mad on Twitter, like, about the phones being withheld from kids. And it was, like, a fucking civil rights issue or some shit. Yeah, I feel like she's against literally all forms of anything having to do with any kind of tech censorship or anything at all, ever. Mr. Mouton, no, that's bad faith shit. Taylor Lorenz, kids, cell phones, school. I agree with Taylor Lorenz. This is August 21st, 2025. This is a year ago. It's not the one I just saw most recently, but that the phone/teens debate is far more nuanced and complicated than just phones bad. There's a full-on moral panic. Proposed legislation that compromises everyone's privacy and many different actors with their own agendas. If social media companies are supporting COSA, you might guess some intentions. There are a lot of people with profit motives going way, blah, 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 blah. Okay, yes, and there are plenty of ways to restrict kids' phones use at school without laws that have significant civil liberties consequences, harmful effects, etc. That's their prerogative. Nuance is lost because the convo is being dominated by moral panic people. So, maybe this is okay, but does she ever suggest any alternative ever? And also, somebody link me her recent tweets on this, because I know that she made stronger tweets about this recently. Agree, and there are plenty of ways to have kids put their phones away during class without sloppy universal laws. A big factor here is also the parents who want 24/7 text access to their kids at school, usually citing fear of school shootings. I'm writing a longer piece on this. This is fucking retarded. Plenty of kids survived way before you had 24/7 access to them with a fucking cell phone, okay? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, this is a retarded.
But this is also
point.
This is a year ago. I know she made more extreme statements on this recently. Find me something more.
Damon said, like, I don't know if this is true, so I'm asking you kind of. Apparently Taylor Lorenz got paid by some smartphone company that makes phones for kids. Is this true?
Yes. I don't know if it was for kids, but it was a sponsor for some. She does take tech sponsors, which I feel like is kind of weird if you're like a tech investigative journalist.
Yeah. A guy who apparently worked at one of the big data centers wants to know if you want to ask him any questions, etc. He's in stream disagreements. He apparently doesn't
work
in
there. Fuck, he can email me in maybe tomorrow because I don't have much time.
Okay. Oh. Yep.
She's also weirdly pro AI. I think she's always been super pro AI. I don't think she's ever been anti-AI anywhere. I don't know if she's ever been in favor of any tech restriction or any tech regulation ever.
She welcomes our tech overlords, unironically.
But if somebody has something to link to me, I'm welcome to be incorrect on
that. Would you say, like, is she like a technocrat or whatever?
I don't know what, she's very weird. I don't know what's going on with her. But I mean, like, she's paid by that Omidyar place for journalistic stuff. And I don't know who else pays her money for stuff. So who knows? Also, who is she to talk about moral? Is she to talk about moral panic over her, like, trying to destroy fucking Chorus and everything else over dark money shit? Oh, and she also pulls out this thing a lot too. Like, gay people were basically executed everywhere on the planet before cell phones came out. So this is
the
9 months
cell
ago.
Cell phones have to do with that.
Oh, let me tell you. The bans also harm the most marginalized kids. Rich kids still have laptops and computers in schools. For many underprivileged kids, their phones are their only word processor, etc. I'm going to be writing more on all of this, but TLDR, this is not to help kids. Fuck, I know there was something within, like, the last couple weeks, I think. Or maybe it was even within the last few days. I feel like there was a big meme. Oh, yeah. I find myself having to use Grok more and more because of the ridiculous content restrictions and other AI models like Gemini. They have all these needless guardrails that won't let you do basic tasks like sharpening an image of Ben Shapiro for a YouTube thumbnail. She's like she's like on AI tech everything. I don't think I've...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grok, how do I make a nuclear bomb? He'll tell you, too.
This reactionary narrative that social media / the phones are rotting our brains is being pushed by an extremely well-funded lobbying effort with the ultimate goal of passing some of the most draconian online speech and censorship laws of our lifetime, and the mainstream media is happy to feed it. The purpose of school is to prepare children for the real world. Oh, wait, hold on. What is this? This is The Discourse. Is it April 27th? Oh, no, this is a month ago. Maybe. Banning cell phones in schools might turn out to be the best thing we've done for kids, our generation. For the first day of school to March 31st, 2026, the district reported an increase of more than 200,000 additional books checked out compared to the previous year. Look at the library checkouts, blah, 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 blah. Whoa, you mean teaching, blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, uh-oh. Every time you tweet about Taylor, she finds it too. Even if it's got like 20 likes, try it yourself. Whoa, you mean the teachers know more than Taylor Lorenz? Whoa, whoa. Yes, girl, you're so right. Mass AI surveillance systems and stop and frisking underprivileged teenagers because they might have a cell phone for shift work is great. Stop and frisk. Fuck those kids and their right to privacy. Wow, 12-year-olds have a right to privacy now? First of all, the poster quote tweeting is totally circumstantial speculation. My issue with smartphone bans is related to civil liberties. These bans are being packaged with AI surveillance systems and enforced by cops, leading to black students getting suspended at higher rates. What? If you ban phones, then black students get suspended? Just out of curiosity, do you oppose cell phone bans that aren't enforced in draconian ways? Like, I don't know, those pocket things that some schools use? Those yonder pouches are costing school districts millions, money that underfunded schools desperately need for other purposes, especially when these bans have such serious downsides and have not been proven to improve any of the metrics proponents claim. The purpose of school is to prepare children for the real world, where cell phones exist. I'm all for teachers having kids put their phones in a bucket during class, or instituting classroom or even school-wide rules. I don't know, but I'm against bans that cops enforce or that cost millions for no benefit and simply feed a moral panic. I don't know what this thing over here is. I don't think I've ever seen her ever be in favor of any tech restriction at all. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe somewhere she is, and I just haven't seen it yet.
It's because no one else is going to do it. And even if you see these people as an enemy or just you don't like them, it is good to get people impassioned about this topic. And that's where my problem comes in, which is the enemies of Taylor Lorenz. Now, these aren't Kiwi Farms users or people that might follow libs of TikTok, people that would have genuine reasons to truly hate Taylor Lorenz. They are the liberal cocksuckers, the pro-liberal establishment scum of this platform. We've got Hutch. Here's the...
How... Is this... Okay, never mind. Sorry. Can't see enemies everywhere. Don't know why I would, but...
Finding characteristic is his hardcore appealing to and cheerleading of the authority of the American Democratic Party. He is hugely under the thumb of the H3 and DGG communities. Hutch has nothing of value to offer, so he spends his time spinning plates to try and keep both of these communities happy, and one way to do that is epically dunk on Taylor Lorenz. Now, don't get your hopes up, but we are going to have to lock in, because when Hutch gets going, oh, it's hard to keep up. Here he is defending ContraPoints and attempting to debunk...
Does Hutch even come to DGG chat?
Doesn't matter. He hasn't disavowed me enough, and I think he talked to me once or twice in the past couple months. This guy is 1,000,000,000% part of these communities. Guaranteed. 1,000,000,000,000%.
It's just so stupid.
Taylor.
What about repealing Section 230 for platforms that have algorithmic recommendation?
Every single platform since the dawn of the internet has algorithmic recommendation. Prodigy and CompuServe had algorithmic recommendation. There is no distinction between algorithmic content. Literally, in Section 230, if you read the text of the law, it just talks about any interactive computer service. So what are you talking about with platforms with algorithmic content? The law was written about platforms with algorithmic content. You guys are acting, do you guys think that algorithms were invented in 2022? That's like literally how they talk about this stuff.
I assume that the algorithms have become a lot more sophisticated. How are we describing it? Algorithmic?
So this is pretty high-level stuff. It took me a while to get my head around. Hutch is asking Grok if search algorithms have changed since the 1990s.
Search engines changed from...
That's a fair question.
Was QQ the mod? I think was a mod in that Snark server that was like okay with doxing Wick, remember? I don't know how much
sure.
of this you fucking follow.
I don't remember. Just... I was watching, but I...
Do you recognize the... Let me see. This guy's name is one of my...
No, I haven't seen any of this. I have no idea.
But this is a...
Oh, it's that
this
person?
Is, yep, and then...
Oh. Yeah, I know that name.
So this is... Yeah, it is. He is part of that group of people, but whatever. Oh!
Earlier... I guess browsers like CompuServe? Is that what you said? Like CompuServe.
Facebook. Wait, so the question, who linked me this video to watch? It only has 7,200 views. I don't know why the fuck I was linked this.
Invented algorithm.
Juice Doc kept talking about how he had a new video last night. Oh, this is just them trying to promote this video. Why the fuck am I even looking at this?
I don't know if you saw this. Apparently there's a new fucking...
new meme?
Thing. Is that true? That can't be true. She's doing the thing where you misunderstood what's being said. What exactly did he say again? Hang on.
Oh, well, Hutch is trying his best, and this high-level analysis gets brought up due to the doomscroll discussion around the Algorithm Accountability Act. This is in the early stages of the legislative process, and if this is passed, online platforms that use automated systems to rank and organize content...
Okay. So then this guy is not somebody who dislikes Taylor Lorenz. He's part of the community that super fucking stands and simps like crazy for her, and then is... yeah, okay. All right.
Remember to hit that like and subscribe, and don't forget the notification bell so that my videos show up right in your feed.